I want to give us a little bit of backstory before we really break into this particular passage of Samuel's. This was a time in the land of Israel when there were judges. And so the primary place of authority was the priesthood, the temple. And priests weren't like United Methodist pastors. They didn't go in front of DCOMs and board of ministries. All they had to be is born into the family. So if your father was a priest and you were a male, you would be a priest and on down the family line. Eli was a priest. His sons then were in that tribe and would become priests. This was at the time in Israel when they were beginning to feel the growth of their country and felt that judges weren't doing what judges needed to do to give them the power of authority on the world stage. So they wanted a king. That was the beginning conversation of, we want an earthly king like those other nations because these judges just aren't working. So in the midst of all of this movement of the people, God was moving. And God began moving through the cries of a woman by the name of Hannah. Hannah was a barren woman who wanted a child and wanted a child desperately. And she kept going to the temple and praying to the Lord for the gift of a child. And she said, Lord, if you will give me a child, I will dedicate this child to you. I will give that gift that you give me back to you. And Samuel was the gift. Samuel was the child of Hannah, who Hannah brought when he was able to be brought to the temple to serve in the temple and serve under Eli, who was a priest there. So we come now to this particular place in the passage where Eli, being an older priest, and his sons being priests in the temple, we're dealing with the same things that we're dealing with now as we have the Me Too movement and the I Will Not Be Silent movement. Eli's sons were abusing those who were coming into the temple, were financially extorting money. They were not good priests. And Eli did nothing about it. It didn't mean that Eli was a bad priest. Eli was a man of God. But for some reason, in his relationship with his sons, he could not bring his sons under rein, even when God warned him. So there was this young boy by the name of Samuel, lying in the temple space, and God does what God does and calls the boy. And he calls to him, and can you imagine? I just imagine that scene of little Samuel going, yeah, Eli? What do you want? And running and going, Eli, Eli, you called me. And Eli going, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And this happening again and again and again until suddenly Eli is awake enough by the third time to realize, oh, God's calling him. And so he sends him back to bed and tells him what to do. Tells him what to do. And so Samuel does what he's told. And he says, your servant listening. And this is where often the lectionary stops. So we get to talk about this magnificent call story. But then it gets complicated, doesn't it? Because when we're called by God, sometimes it gets complicated. We don't like what God calls us to do. So this young boy's first word from God is a word about the punishment that's going to happen to the man who has been his mentor. And God speaks about the fact that Eli did not do what Eli was supposed to do, and that all the retribution that God had told him would happen will happen. And he says that all of Israel's ears will tingle when they hear of what's going on. So if I were this young boy, after I got this really hard word to share with my master, I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I'd want to. So I imagine that's why I spoke the way I spoke. When Eli goes, Samuel, and he's going, I'm here. It's like, oh no. He's going to ask. He's going to ask what God said. And if he asks what God said, I'm going to have to tell him what God said. And I don't want to tell this man what God said. And he asks. And he asks in such a way that Samuel has to tell. But Eli understood Eli, for all of Eli's brokenness, Eli understood that there were consequences to the choices that Eli made. And Eli chose to guide Samuel in the way that Samuel needed to be guided. That Samuel, you need to speak truth, even if truth is going to hurt me. If God has given you a truth to speak, you speak it. And so as Samuel speaks those words, Eli's response is, let it be as God wishes. And Samuel continues to grow in his story. We might hear about it in future weeks. This is your stay tuned message. Stay tuned for what may happen with Samuel and Saul and David. It gets rather fascinating as we look at how God moves through history to today. And even the passage that we heard in the gospel, as Jesus began to call his disciples, he still needed some people to call others, to bring others to Jesus, as Philip brought Nathanael. Even though Jesus knew who Nathanael was, Philip is the one who brought. Come and see, Philip says. So we, like last week, we are the stars that shine brightly so others can see Christ. But we're also the ones who need to listen for what God is saying to us, how God is calling us to be those lights and those witnesses. And after we've listened, sometimes we have to speak some harsh words to places of power, because Eli was a place of power. The temple was a place of power, and young 9, 10, 11-year-old Samuel had to speak to a man of power and tell him that his days were numbered and so were his sons. Today, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have this word that we study, that we read, that we interpret, and then that we have to speak from. And what I have found as I deal in the world of multimedia is that as humans, we're beginning to believe we know the truth of the scriptures better than maybe our neighbor. And so we're all feeling we need to speak this truth to either power or to our neighbor, and we've forgotten to listen. If I was to pick human sexuality, if I was to pick immigration, if I was to pick racism, if I was to pick sexual harassment, here in this room, we would have various beliefs about what the scripture says and what God says about that. And the conversation here would stop being a conversation and start being a war of words. God asks more of us than that. God asks us first, just as Eli asked of Samuel, to listen. And before we move to that place of emotional reaction to the words that a friend, neighbor, loved one might be saying to us, we need to listen in prayer. Because right now the world is a place of hurting. And the places of power need to be spoken to. The places of wealth need to be spoken to. The places of government need to be spoken to. But we don't know what the words need to be unless we first listen and listen for God. And then when the world sees the church listening, not always in agreement, we're never always going to be in agreement because look at us, God made us very different. Maybe not always in agreement, but always understanding that where we come from a place of love. And that we love our neighbor enough to hear their truth, even if it hurts us to hear it. Because if the church can't listen, we can't hear where God is speaking to us. So when we ask people to come and see, when we call people into the light of Christ's love, we need to first listen to their story. And there's one story I want to end with today, and it's the story of Danny Dickerson, the piano player from Tabernacle. When Danny came to Tabernacle to play, he is a little boy. He grew up as a little boy in that church, but he grew away from the church, and he got himself in trouble. So when he came to play, what I understand, he was playing because it was his community service. But when I got there, I didn't know that. And Danny felt he needed to speak the truth to me and let me know that there was a particular order of worship that happened in Tabernacle. But from that relationship developed this relationship of love and worship together. I watched a man who cared about his choir, because he was our choir director too, cared about his choir and would make sure that the music and the songs and everything matched the voices and the abilities that they could do. He encouraged them, but he also required things of them that they didn't appreciate, like timeliness and being there to rehearse. And so they revolted at some point. They revolted enough to kick him out of his church. I was there that Wednesday night when they kicked him out of his church. A year or so later, I was moved to a new appointment. Danny had a heart attack shortly thereafter. But the other gift of Danny Dickerson was the gift of a cook. He could outcook any of you, honest. He really could. His beef brisket was enough to make you drool. And his desserts, oh my goodness. I went from 200 pounds to 260 pounds when I was there. But that place of brokenness in Danny blossomed when he left Tabernacle. He got a promotion where he was working. He worked for John Deere. He fell in love with something called the Panthers. And he was a tailgater. And from what I understand, he was there for every home game. And you'd want to go to Danny's tailgate, because the food that he would have there would have been marvelous. To the point that when Danny died, the local TV station told people that this Panther fan had died. A man from Onslow County who loved God, loved family, loved the church that kicked him out. Because the thing that broke my heart the night that he was kicked out was we stood in that parking lot for close to 30 minutes. He was waiting for someone inside to come out and welcome him back in. We don't know what breaks people. We don't know people's personal story. But we know that God loves you no matter where you've been and no matter what you believe. And until we share that message of love, until our doors are so open that we can have disagreements with one another but still love each other enough not to be praying inside and leaving the one out hurt, but going out to pull them in for that prayer. When we can do that, the world will tingle at the message of Christ's love. We cannot judge one another for each of our personal stories. We can only love one another because God created us to love. Samuel had to tell a hard truth, but Eli loved him enough to tell him to do it. Eli loved him enough to hear it. Eli loved God enough to understand the consequences of his choices. Church, we've got to be able to listen, and we've got to be able to love, because we're never going to be able to agree with one another, but we are going to be able to love one another. So you may be the Samuel, the Nathaniel, the Philip, the Andrew, or the Danny. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.